could say that waves are the basis of everything in a way. Yeah, I mean, things ebb and flow. Things come and go, don't they?
All kinds of waveforms.
Talk among them.
All sorts of waves. We interact societally with the entire spectrum of waveforms and wavelengths. X-ray, radio waves.
Radio waves. I really understand radio waves. I think that's magic. Radio, it's a great thing. Mass communication. To the imagination, and you can do the ironing at the same time. If you do the ironing, which I don't, or you could wash up.
Microwaves.
You don't have to, you could lie in a darkened room. Just enjoy the radio as well. Or take it anywhere with you. The internet, some love it.
Electromagnetic waves.
I could take it anywhere, I'd go anywhere in the world. Connections are great. I had a message 2 days ago from a guy in Japan saying, oh, well, I always like to work and I like your modern work. And on his page of friends, there was a guy in Hull.
Gravity waves.
How interesting that. I had to get a message from someone in Japan to know about this interesting thing in Hull, which is just a great. It was great. I would never have known about that. The sharing room. Well, yes. Yeah, I get to listen to all sorts of things.
Sound waves.
And see all sorts of things, which in days before I'd have to buy records or. Mind you, I get a lot of stuff on the radio, I suppose. But, you know, it's just a mass of information, isn't it? And some people find it a bit overwhelming, but I think if you discriminate, you can easily find what you like. And new things pop up.
Water away.
There's two ways of life, actually. There's coastal sailing, what I call coastal sailing, and ocean voyaging. First time an ocean voyaging. I like the coast, the shoulders. I'm looking at the ocean, and you get a real sense of the power.
I've been working on waves and on and off for since 1973, quite a long while. People were just beginning then to worry about oil. What had happened was that the Americans had been importing more and more oil. They were getting to the end of their own oil reserves. And by 1973, they were importing a quarter of the oil that they used. And that suddenly meant that they couldn't any longer set the world oil price. And the energy crisis that we had then was entirely fabricated by the oil companies. They wanted the price of oil to be reduced, they made a bigger profit. They were exaggerating.
So I said, you really have to be able to live inside yourself and be happy with yourself to be able to do it. The sky's a huge thing with emotion. It's enormous, the sky. It does actually frighten some people.
Frightening?
You actually stay below deck, some people on boats. You feel the sky is so big it's oppressive. It's not quite a bit strange. But it really is a wonderful place. You can play to such calm and gentleness, and then within a short space of time, it's absolutely ferocious, taking all your energy.
Surfing on sandy beaches, gorgeous, surfing on rocky coves is wonderful. There are many different situations where you find rideable waves, and that's what we're looking for. The fact that you can make yourself
really got to be an ocean junkie to get it
in control of the liquid slopes. Imagine you're on a hill, and the hill is liquid.
There's
nothing really that compares to that.
I don't feel like a ground.
First thing you have to do is to get.
But that got it going again. We made various holes, various shapes of holes, succession, each getting a little better to get the energy out of the waves that are hitting the coast of the Hebrides from the Atlantic. raising waves, and it really is quite hot. You measure it in kilowatts per metre width on seafront.
Rescued from nearly drowning by a lifeguard who, obviously, because he wasn't here, was speaking to me in a foreign language. He got hold of me and he said, I've realised, keep, don't struggle, don't try and get your head above the wave. So when the waves came at us as we were trying to get back to shore, he pulled me under the wave. So that, so the wave broke over us. And he was rescuing me by pulling me through the wave. I didn't understand him because you can imagine where foreign language goes in that situation. So I was struggling to keep my head above the wave. So we were in a sort of fight with the wave, him and what. He won't because he was struggling.
What direction up is? What direction the sky is? He can sometimes get so whirled around.
You get plenty of work.
You've got to get back to the surface. And then the damage is you can get back to the surface.
You get the bubble, you get the noise of the
ground.
You can sort of become such contact, start hanging out with drone. You can shut the bubble. You can have to the back of your mind. And you have to
find
your
room.
You understand what I mean? In fact, there's no air. The water is
very careful when you come out of the ground. The wave was
suspended. I stuck in the gem.
The diameter of the ship or the depth of the ship
seems to move slowly.
Well, the duck would get lots of difficulties. is about a tenth to a 15th of wavelength, and it's really
it's like
great.
A hammer, you swing.
But it's not bad when it's a 25th of wavelength. So we would talk somewhere between 10 metres and maybe 14 metres diameter for
it's
Atlantic. If you want to do it somewhere where the waves are shorter, then they'd be a bit smaller. But it's
cool. Your restricted visibility options. The light only penetrates so far down in the water.
They like to be in deep water. They like to be in at least 80 metres, probably 100 metres water depth. So you'd follow the 80 metre depth contour, and there'd be a sort of zigzaggy line. If you go in much less than 80 metres, you start feeling the bottom, and they start losing a lot of energy with the bottom friction. So there's less and less and less as you get in.
Thinking
about
your visibility also restricted
again. Like
the
soil thing, they get asymmetric. The incoming breaker is higher for a shorter time. The problem is that there will be sometimes if you have a really big wave in the middle and a really big trough at the end, which will give you what's called a bad bending moment. A bending moment is a sort of stress pattern happening if you're trying to break a bit of wood across your knee. And so we were able to work out what the bending moments would be, and they were pretty frightening. And so what we did was to make joints along the spine.
We're able to bend the joints when the bending moment got too big.
And you can use this for getting the energy out of the waves as well as the darkness. I don't think it's quite as good, it's not bad. And some of my students have built a system called Pavamis, which is using just that idea. We've got a length of spine for joints between them. The joint movement generates energy. There's one of them working on 40 now, there's four more than 40. A spin-off from what we were trying to do. It's a lot lower power, but it's easier to do at this stage. So it's a bit like we were trying to design a jet airliner like a Boeing 707. These guys believe it might be a good idea to try the biplane first.
This country
it's not making the best use
it's as different as those
things
have
been
made,
but
it's a very good chance of
surviving
the
space
station.
The duct system is meant to be
the final,
most
elaborate, perfect ideal thing for when we really need it badly. And it really was like trying to
slope up
and start preparing for the zone. What we need to do is to get
a gentle
slope, a smaller system, that is not such a big investment going. The smallest duct string you could make would be probably 60 megawatts. And you should really have things that are a fraction of a megawatt to begin with, while you learn how to do it. I think the Palamas is 350 kilowatts. That's starting off with a glider and doing
bike.
So I've been working on the kinds of pumps, motors, hydro motors that we will need. They have to be much more efficient than
much
more controllable.
When you see waves coming,
and it turns out that the technology that we've invented for that
wave energy
is also useful now when people are getting a bit more they try to follow what the public opinion is likely to be, and they know that the public wants to get more renewables developed. And the thing about waves is that it's out of sight. Nobody worries about it. It's got a good match to the requirements for energy. It doesn't come into us in the winter, which is nice. So I think it's further off than tides, and winds are now expanding fast. But when you run out of places you can do wind energy on land, you've got to go through the same sort of problems and to make them offshore. And waves will come after we've got all the other ones developed. And when we do, if we start building all the way up to Iceland, then there's an enormous resource there.
Who starts it? Do several people start it? Waves of emotion. You could say the waves of the basis of everything. Yeah, I mean, things ebb and flow. Things can't stay as high as those levels.
The things I think is actually best at the moment of all them in the near term is looking at tidal streams. This is where you have a current that's going in the gap between two islands and you get an anomaly. And I think that'll happen earlier than the big wave energy. It's a bit site specific. You have to design a particular kind of turbine for a particular place, whereas the waves are a general state. I've been working on a vertical axis rotor that looks a bit like a roundabout. Someone said it's like a polar, and the blades run, they look like stubby airplanes, and they run vertically, and they have to wiggle, they have to change their pitch as they rotate. And one of the differences is that instead of bringing the power to the middle gearbox in the middle of the rotor, we're trying to do the power table right out of the rim.
Frightening.
but you just get your legs, and it's anchored by three legs that got the swivel bearings at each end, so that they're only working in tension, especially not trying to bend the legs. And they can be stowed in a sort of triangle inside, like a plastic common bird down to the ground.
Why can't we set up stations in the ocean?
Each blade can respond to a little bit of water.
That sort of thing. Why can't we get out into the ocean? We don't have to have
so
it in the ocean.
They're really pitchy.
Anywhere in the world, huge oceans. There's so much water movement there. And that movement of water, it's free. It goes on every day, constantly. We don't have to make it move. Nature does it for us. They go find something to harness the energy of that movement, and you're in.